one of the most interesting devices of the ego to prevent awakening is the creation and the use of time. You can also say it's the misuse of time. So in so many cases, the seeker knows what's to be done, but it will be pushed into the future. It is very, very cleverly pushed into the future. I will tackle this later. I will look at this later. I will solve this later. And this happens so quickly and so unconsciously, we don't even realize it, that we have done a misuse of time. That's what the ego does. It doesn't say fully nahi karna, because then it would have to acknowledge that it is not even a seeker. It doesn't say a full no. It will postpone or dismiss it in some way or the other. It may say, okay, this is not really clicking with me, I need some other technique. I have to find some other technique. Again, what happens when you say, I need another technique? It means you want more time. Now, when you'll find that perfect technique, God only knows. But at least the ego gets more time now. Or it will say, you know, I need some support to clean this. I can't do this by myself. I need to find the perfect support. Perfect friend or the perfect facilitator. Somebody else has to do this for me. Again, you have created time. Or the ego says, I'm not ready right now. Or the ego says, this is not really worth looking at right now. Or the ego says, this is too difficult right now. Then kya hota hai ki usme 10 saal nikal jaate hain, bas 10 years may pass, you know. And one is still rotating in the same circle. Because the work needs to be done when it needs to be done. When something comes up as a seeker, we have to deal with it. But by default, the mechanism of the ego is dismissive, distractive, and, you know, suppressive. It will suppress it, bury it, dismiss, distract. It will get away from it. So each of us have to see where we are misusing time. Which are the issues in our life? Which are the areas of our life where we keep saying, yeah, look at this later. I'll tackle this later. The beauty is, later may never come. It may never come. So whenever people tell me, you know, after 1 year we'll do this, after 2 years we'll do that, I take it with a pinch of salt, you know. Because if you are not able to do it now, you will probably not do it. Whatever is worth doing is worth doing now. I'll repeat that. Whatever is worth doing is worth doing now. Love is worth, and love has to be done now. Forgiveness is worth doing, it is worth doing now. If freedom is worth it, one has to move into freedom now. If releasing emotions is worth doing, it has to be done now. Whatever is worth it is worth doing now. When we push it into the future, we are unconsciously stating it's not really worth doing just now. There are more important things to work on. I would rather be focused somewhere else. Or I don't really want to solve this problem. Whenever the ego misuses time, it is basically saying, I want to go to sleep again in the dream. I want to be asleep for some more time. So many times, you know, seekers, people on the path, they get tremendous insights. They get tremendous clarity. They really see something beautiful. Then it is noticed that within a couple of hours or a day or two, that thing disappears. Then it's nowhere to be found. Sometimes the students clearly see the path, where they are, what they need to do, what is the next step. It is all crystal clear. And then after 2 days, it gets foggy again. All clarity disappears, and everything is pushed back into the future. So pushing back, pushing back, pushing back, the whole life goes by, you know. The ego always finds something else which is more important. So check in your life. Now, what are the ways in which you push back things? And they don't have to be just spiritual. They could be even relationship issues. They could be career issues. Not just about meditation and clearing. Misuse of time is in every area. Misuse of time means I am happy with the mess. I am happy to stay in the mess for a long time. It may hurt my body, it may hurt my mind, it may completely slow down my spiritual journey, but I am going to stay in the mess. The ego loves the mess. It loves the mess, and then it will justify the mess, and then it will blame somebody else for the mess. Basically, it loves the mess. That's why it doesn't leave the mess. How is it possible that one sees the problem and the problem is not solved? How is that possible? If you see some dirt in your house, how is it possible that you won't clean it up? If you see that your house is on fire, how is it possible that you won't leave that house? You will run away from there. We have some strange mechanisms at work inside, where we keep saying this is a mess, and yet we keep staying there for months and months and years. That's like saying my house is full of garbage. Next month again saying my house is full of garbage, and then again saying my house is full of garbage. Every month you're saying my house is full of garbage, but one is there only. So one sits in the garbage, dreams of some great future in which there is freedom and there is a beautiful garden and there is nature and all kinds of stuff. There's a future fantasy. That future fantasy will never come. Cannot come. When one gets too used to the garbage, one cannot live without the garbage. Osho used to tell this story about a fisherwoman, a fisherman and a fisherwoman, you know. That one day they saved the life of a king who was drowning in the ocean. this fisherman and the fisherwoman. They saved the king's life. The king was very grateful, and next month he called them. He said, "Why don't you come and stay at my palace for a few days?" They went to stay at the palace. And in the palace, in the night, I mean, they had the best bed and the best, you know, surroundings and agarbatti and incense, and everything was beautiful, and they just can't sleep. They can't sleep. So finally, the king asked somebody to get some tokri of fish, you know, from the neighborhood, so that they could smell the fish even in the castle. So when those tokris full of fish were put near them and the fish smell came, then they could sleep. So when one is so used to the fish smell, you know, a rose garden is going to feel very alien. System doesn't even want it. I see this happening to many human beings also. They get so used to the fish smell, to the stink of the ego, the conflicts, to the confusion, to the emotional overload. It is just so familiar that it's almost like some kind of friend, you know. I don't want to let it go then. I want to keep that. And then the ego plays the second game. Second game is, I'm going to keep all my stinky stuff, and yet I'm going to create the image of a spiritual seeker. It is absolutely amazing the way the ego does that. And I will keep all my suppressed emotions, my anger, my rage, my frustration, childhood wounds, I will keep all of that intact, and I will somehow manage to convince myself that I am this tremendous seeker looking for truth. The beauty is, it even manages to convince itself about that. Self-deception in this case is tremendous. And in all these cases, you will find a misuse of time. You will find a subtle postponement, subtle dismissal. I am not ready. I can't do this. This is too hard. I don't have the right facilitator. I don't have the right friends. My teacher doesn't give me enough time. Any excuse will do. Any excuse will do, as long as you can keep postponing the resolution of that issue. So just check, where you're misusing time. Where do you want to stay in the mess? Which are the problems you want to keep exactly as they are? Which is that boundary you don't want to come out of? In spite of all these issues, how does the ego convince itself that it's actually a true seeker? It's just beautiful to see these deceptions. And don't get serious about it and fight with it. Just see it. It's a brilliant software. It's just lovely to see it.